which I saw at the end of last year, about a fellow by the name of Ted Williams, who was homeless, and he was spotted on begging for money by a reporter in Ohio, and he was holding a sign. You'll see it in the video clip, but the reporter decided to come back again and videotape the man and post the video on YouTube. And within the space of 2 weeks, he went from being homeless on the street to being employed and a job and everything else. I'll show you the clip.
Viral video tearing up the internet that's already gotten almost 3 million hits. It's of a homeless man in Columbus, Ohio, who panhandles on the side of the road. He carries a sign that says he's fallen on hard times and has a God-given gift of voice. Turns out, it's exactly what he does have.
There are often homeless people asking for change, freeway exit ramps. But recently, there's been this guy with an interesting sign at I-71 and Hudson Street. His handwritten sign says he has the God-given gift of a great voice.
Hey, I'm going to make you work for your dollar. Say something with that great radio voice.
When you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Magic 98.9. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. And we'll be back with more right after these words. And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert. Thank you so much.
Just this week, Ted Williams went from this homeless camp in Columbus, Ohio, to sharing a couch in New York City with the hosts of the Today Show.
So you're going to go all Hollywood on us now?
No. I think that's really far off.
And that man's name is Ted Williams, and he joins us exclusively here on the early show this morning. Ted, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and good morning to you too.
I just want to hear you talk. Just read something, would you? First of all, congratulations. Let me just ask you right off the bat. What's it like to go from being homeless and on the side of the road with a sign in your hand to now overnight you are this sensation and people can't get enough of you right now?
Oh my God, it's just sensational for one. It's numbing for another, overwhelming. I mean, there's so many words that I just, it's just amazing. I feel like, I've already been characterized as the Susan Boyle. She didn't believe it. And I haven't talked to my moms, and that's what they're trying to do now is to arrange a reunion type thing. And God, after 20 years, but I always talk to her and, you know, yes, ma'am.
It gave Williams a chance to see his mother for the first time since the 1980s. Before the reunion, she told the AP how excited she was to see her only child.
This would be my day to see my son, to get up and do something and help himself. He has so much talent.
My mom is just really, I'm going to be going to New York hopefully this afternoon, and please, I apologize, I'm getting a little emotional. I haven't seen my mom in a great deal of time since then, but she doesn't believe it. She's 92 and she lives in Brooklyn. And I was born and raised in Brooklyn in the Bedford-Stuyvesant area, right in around Bergen and Buffalo, Atlantic Avenue, Flatbush, mm-hmm. and, you know, that area. So, you know, God has been so good. And in the year 2010, on this Facebook that somebody gave me, I was going to write on there, well, another year wasted. But it was the year that I found God in my life. I mean, really a God of my understanding. And so it wasn't a wasted year, and I had no idea that something like this would have ever happened to me. It's like almost winning the Mega Ball lottery or something. This is just phenomenal. You know, one of my biggest prayers that I sent out was that she would live long enough for me to see me, you know, rebound or whatever. And I guess God kept her around and he kept my pipes around, you know, to maybe just have one more shot that I would be able to say, Mom, I did do it before, you know, I might pass away before her or whatever, but my dad didn't get a chance to see this. But God is good, and the only difference between now and the time that I did have some kind of a heyday or a successful life is that now I'm more appreciative of life. I'm not taking it for granted, and I am thanking the Lord every day. Even if this didn't happen, I was still on that road. I thanked him and had my hour with God. You know, I called it my hour with God. Sometimes I would make $25 in an hour. Sometimes I'd make 25 cents in an hour, but at least I would talk to God. I'd get mad at some motorists who would pass by and say, oh, look at that guy who's going to...
Little did they know.
I would have my little mumbles.
Imagine if I talked to a voice like that. You know, I saw that clip and I thought, man, what a great voice. And then it got me wondering, I thought, what would it be like to be able to hear God's voice? Take out your Bibles and turn over to the book of Revelations. In Revelation chapter 1. We see the Apostle John, who's on the island of Patmos in exile, and he has a vision. In Revelation 1, and we'll pick up here in verse 10. On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool and as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. This is John's vision of the resurrected and glorified Messiah. This is Jesus come back, and he says his voice, it was like the rushing of waters. He's out of his mouth came something that was like a double-edged sword. You know, we know from Hebrews 4 that double-edged sword, it's the Word of God. Jesus, back in John chapter 1, John tells us that Jesus was the living Word of God who came and became flesh. But he says that voice was something incredible. Look back to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews 12, and we'll pick up there in verse 26. He's referring to a time in the Old Testament. He says, at that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. He's referring back to the time when God delivered the Ten Commandments to the Israelite nation. And back in that day, God often spoke to people. He spoke to Moses through the burning bush. But he told Moses to go and lead his people out of slavery. And he would speak to Moses, and he would frequently throughout the Old Testament tell Moses, you've got to write these words down. Back in Exodus 17, he says, write these words on a scroll so they will be remembered. But he talks about writing down these words. And then, in Exodus 19, God himself speaks to the people. Have a look back in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 19. Let's pick up there in verse 16. It says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. It's no wonder they were trembling. They're about to meet with God. In verse 18, Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, go down and warn the people, so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Skip down to chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Skip down to verse 18. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. You know, the reason God spoke to the people was so that they would be afraid. So they would have this incredible sense of awe and godly fear and respect for the voice of God. And then, because they couldn't handle it, it's fine. He spoke to Moses. Moses wrote down his words. So then people would be able to read God's words and then have the same level of respect and fear for the word of God as when they heard his voice. You know, that is what God desires for us today. Have you ever heard a voice that scared you? I know growing up as a kid, my mother, she could scare me with just a look. And if I was doing something wrong and I was already on edge because I was having a guilty conscience and my mother happened to be there and she saw me, I would shrivel up. But then if she spoke in that voice, and myself, my two brothers, we all recognize that tone of voice. You know, there's a normal motherly tone where it's like, honey, how are you doing? How's your day? But then there's that tone when you're in your room and you hear this voice shouting up the stairs, Micah! And then you're like, oh no, what? And then I'm racking my brains, what have I done wrong? What is it? And then she'd call, Micah, Norman, Joseph! And all three of us, there's this fear of God would descend upon us. Because it was that voice of authority. You know, we've lost a lot of our fear for God's voice. And you know, we may not hear God's voice speaking to us audibly as the Israelite nation did. But we've got the Word of God. And the Word of God is there and we ought to respect God's Word with the same fear that the people felt when he first spoke to them from Mount Sinai. There should be this tremendous sense of awe. And it's not all about fear, because that's not God's desire for us. God wants to have a relationship with us, but there should be this sense of respect and awe as we come before the living God. And the same with his word, that we don't treat God's word with a cavalier attitude. But that instead, that when we read the Word of God, we treat it as it is. That it really is God's Word, the Word of God. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy 3, and these are verses which many of us are familiar with, but sometimes we need to be reminded about what they're actually saying. In 2 Timothy 3, and we pick up there in verse 16, Paul writes to Timothy. He says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Paul tells Timothy, he says, all scripture is from God, it's breathed from God. He said it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then he gives Timothy a charge. He says you've got to preach the word, whether it's popular or unpopular, in season or out of season. He says you need to correct, rebuke, and discipline with great patience and careful instruction. He says there's going to come a time when people will not put up with God's word. Instead, they're going to gather around them people to say what they want to hear. To say what their itching ears want to hear. You know, that's always been the way. That people will go to places where they will hear what they want to hear. Because that's just the way we are. You know, the Word of God, it's there for us to live a godly life, but it's not always, doesn't always come with the most encouraging of messages. In 1 Samuel chapter, have a look over in 1 Samuel chapter 3. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see a young lad by the name of Samuel, who was left with the priest Eli, and he actually hears God's word spoken to him. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call you. Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.' And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I'll carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering.' Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, 'Samuel, my son.' Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' 'What was it he said to you?' Eli asked. 'Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you.' So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, 'He is the Lord. Let him do what is good.' The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." This amazing story in the life of Samuel. This is the first time he hears the word of God spoken. And later on, God continued to speak to him. In fact, Samuel's name in Hebrew actually means "he who listens to God." And he would frequently hear God's word, and he would pass on the word of God to the people. But the very first time he heard God speaking to him, he didn't recognize the voice of God. He needed someone in his life to help him recognize God's word. And that someone at the time was Eli. You know, the reason why Samuel was there with Eli is because his mother Hannah prayed for a child. She was barren, she kept praying, and she made a promise to God, the first child I bear, I'll give him back to you. And she did. And so there, when she bore her son Samuel, after he was weaned, she took him to the temple and gave him to Eli. And Eli was from the tribe of Levites. He was a priest, as were his children. But Samuel wasn't. So Samuel could never grow up to become a priest. He was from the wrong tribe. But he later grew up to become God's prophet. And you know, as he spoke that first time, God said, I'm going to tell you something which is going to make the ears of those who hear it tingle. And the message he gave Sammy that very first time, it wasn't encouraging. It wasn't like, yeah, tell Eli he's doing a great job, everything's going really well, the Israelite nation is doing great. He says, actually, you tell him I'm going to bring to pass all the things I said would happen. And what it was that God had told Eli that he was going to wipe out his male descendants because of the sin, or he's going to kill his sons. And that's exactly what happened. Is that it was a word of warning and punishment. And you know, Samuel was afraid to speak up. But Eli said, look, you've got to just tell me. No matter how bad it is, you've got to tell me. The one thing, even though Eli messed up and he didn't discipline his sons where he was supposed to, the one thing that you have to give him credit for was he respected God's word. And he taught Samuel to respect the word of God. How about us? Do we have that kind of respect for the word of God? And you know, we may say, oh yeah, I respect God's word. But, you know, the real proof is, are you actually reading it? Do you read the Bible? Do you read the Bible consistently? Do you read the Bible regularly? Do you read the Bible daily? Let me show you another clip, alright? This is taken from the movie Amadeus. And this clip I want to show you is when the great composer Salieri was talking about the very first time he encountered the works of Mozart. He looked at Mozart as this bumbling buffoon, but he came across this his manuscript, and he begins to read the music that's written on there. And in his mind, as he's reading the music, he can actually hear it in his mind. And he's relaying this. Let me just show you.
Nothing. The beginning is simple, almost comic. There's a pulse, bassoons, basset horns. On the page, it looked nothing. The beginning is simple, almost comic. There's a pulse, bassoons, basset horns. Like a rusty squeeze box. Then, suddenly, high above it, an oboe. A single note hanging there, unwavering. Until a clarinet took it over. It sweetened it into a phrase of such delight. This was no composition by a performing monkey. This was a music I'd never heard. Filled with such longing, such unfulfillable longing. It seemed to me that I was hearing the voice of God. Excuse me.
You know, when you can read the Word of God and be moved and have a deeper connection, that's when you know that it's not just words on a page. One of the first things we learn when we go to school is we learn to write. And as we learn to write, then we, at the same time, we learn to read. And there's something about being able to read and write that enables you to connect with the mind of the author. You know, I wish I could read music. My son, he's just started this week to learn the saxophone. And, you know, that's one of those cool instruments that you see. You know, if you see some kind of jazz band, and when the saxophone comes on, and that's when you look at the guy playing the saxophone, you think, whoa, that is cool. I shared a flat with a guy called Noel Loban, who was, many of you remember Noel. He used to be in the East many years ago, won a bronze medal in the Olympics in 1984 for wrestling. And he and I shared a room back in the early 80s. And he was this, he was this, he was, as you would imagine, if he's going to be an Olympic medalist, he was very, in wrestling, he was very strong, he was very fit. Every morning he'd get up, he'd go for his 5 mile run, come back, and he'd be then do his 500 press ups. I was in the bed watching him do his press ups. 500 press ups, and then he'd get up and go to do his training. He was a pretty cool guy, but then he decided, I want to learn the saxophone. And after a couple of years, he actually got pretty good at saxophone, and he occasionally played it in church, whenever we had concerts and things. But as if he wasn't cool enough, with all his muscles and muscles on muscles, and he was tall and this athletic guy, and then he was played the saxophone, you know. And my son's just picked up the saxophone this week to play it, and he's reading music, and the reason he's chosen saxophone is because he's always knows how to play the recorder, and it's all very similar fingering, and he's learning how to be able to read and play. And I wish I could do that. I wish I could just read the music and be able to translate it into something that comes out as sound. I could learn. No, I'm just going to wish for it. But yeah, we can do that with the Word of God, though. We can read the words of the written and have a deep connection and recognize it as the voice of God. We can hear it not just as words on the paper, we can hear it as God speaking to our hearts and connect to us. And that's what we should be doing. I just want to share with you some scriptures. You don't need to turn there. In Deuteronomy 4, it talks about in verse 36, from heaven he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the fire. In Deuteronomy 5, 24, he says, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty. We have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that a man can live even if God speaks with him. In Deuteronomy 30, Moses is reminding the people about what they have heard. He says, he talks about how the commands of God that God's given them, he says that these are there so you may love the Lord your God, that you may listen to his voice and hold fast to him. In John 5, Jesus says that do not be amazed. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice. There's going to come a day when everyone will hear the voice of God. For some, it's going to be the voice welcoming them home. For others, it's going to be the voice of doom. But everyone is going to hear God's voice at some point. Much better to hear it now, whilst you have a chance to respond to God's voice. He says, in Jesus again, in John chapter 10, he says, the watchman opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. You know, Jesus says that he has a flock, he has his sheep, and those sheep know his voice. You can't tell me that you're part of Jesus' flock if you don't know the Word of God. Because you have to know the voice of God. You have to be able to recognize his voice. So many will hear people, preachers, ministers, speaking from the Bible, but not speaking the Word of God. You can take the words out of Scripture, and you can twist them and distort them. It happens today. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, that there are loads of false prophets who will go around, and they will not speak the truth. You know, I was with a couple of the brothers yesterday. I was actually with Mike and Neil and Phil, and we went to this gym down east, Bow. And, you know, we had a friend, Phil's friend was with us, Matthew. Matthew's this big guy. And his muscles which have muscles. I mean, he took off his t-shirt and he's the kind of guy who you pretend not to look at, or you try not to look at, but you're mentally comparing yourself. And so I stuck close to Matthew as we were working out, because I wanted to be seen in association with someone like that. But we went down to the gym, and Michael was sharing about his things he's been reading and studying. And he showed me this passage from Ezekiel chapter 13. Have a look over there in Ezekiel 13. Just talking about false prophets. In In verse 1 it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among ruins. You have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel so that it will be stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false and their divinations a lie. They say, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or will be listed in the records of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord, because they lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace." You know, this is one of the familiar themes. As you read through the New Testament, you'll see when people who are not speaking the word of God, they'll say things which are comforting. It's what Paul said to Timothy, that people will gather around them, a great number of teachers, and say what their itching ears want to hear. No one wants to hear the challenging stuff. They want to hear peace. Jeremiah spoke about this as well. He says that these false prophets, they say peace, peace, when there is no peace. People say, it's okay, everything's fine. You come to church, you're doing great. And there's even as Obi shared at the beginning, that how the different reasons why people come to church. Well, I don't want to go to hell. Or, you know, I just want to, whatever it is. The real reason we should come is so we can hear the word of God and be changed by it. So we can encourage one another to stand firm to the word of, and hold it to the word of God. So that we can allow ourselves to be convicted and challenged. That's why the Bible describes the word of God like a double-edged sword, because it does cut. And it is penetrating, and it is convicting. But sometimes we just don't want to hear that stuff. We just want to hear the peace, peace. Everything's okay. Okay, so you've messed up. Okay, so you're sleeping with your girlfriend. Okay, so you smoke and you get drunk every so often. But you're at church. You're doing well. Oh, no, I'm sure God will welcome you into heaven. It'll be fine. Just acknowledge him and it'll be okay. That's not what my Bible says. God is a God of grace and a God of mercy, but he's also a God of justice and a God of righteousness. And the Bible says that who will see God is those with clean hands and pure hearts. We have got to be serious about holding to the word of God and not to the word of man. There are a lot of people who will tell you, you are okay. But the only way you can know for sure is if you are listening to God's word, to the voice of God and not to the voice of people. Now I want to encourage you today. Wherever you're at in your walk with God, over the next few weeks, decide to take it higher, particularly in the area of Bible study. Decide, I'm not going to just read the Bible, but I'm going to study it. Decide, I want to understand God's word, not just what I think it's saying, but what it really is saying. To know the context, to know what it's really, the setting in which the words were spoken, who they were spoken to, and what they really mean. So that I can apply truth to my heart, and not imaginations or lies. Decide today, I want to hear God's voice like never before. You know, one of my goals this year is to make sure my son reads his Bible every single day. And so far this year, every single day, he's studied his Bible. And every day I get with him and we go over what he's read, just to make sure. Make that a goal for you, that you want to hear God's word, and you want to apply it to your life. I just want to end out by showing you one last clip. And this clip, it's a little baby, was born deaf. And the reason he's born deaf was because of, I think there was the problem with the bones in his head. And so what they did was they put an implant in his skull so that he would be able to hear. And what the clip you're going to see is just a very short clip. But you're going to see his mother hole in him, and then they flip the switch to power the implant, and then for the very first time in this baby's short life, he could actually hear his mother's voice. And I want us to have, as we watch the clip, just to stop and think about how do we respond to God's word? Do we hear his voice? And are we serious about really listening?